Welcome back for the third hour of Issues Etc. It's Open Lines. It's also Ash Wednesday today. You may have already been to church and heard these words: remember you are dust, and to dust you will return. It's reminiscent of the curse that God pronounced over Adam and us all back after the fall into sin, when he told Adam that all the days of his life he would labor and bring forth his bread from the dust of the earth. It would yield nothing but thorns and thistles, and by the sweat of his brow he would eat his bread until he laid back down in the dust. For from dust you were taken, and to dust you will return. And that's kind of the call of Ash Wednesday, beginning the great season of Lent, leading, of course, to the season of Easter in the church year. Now, I don't want to talk about Ash Wednesday so much today. We could do that, but and we've done it in the past. I'm more concerned about the issue behind Ash Wednesday. I've said many times on the air, and I don't know if I'm unique in this fashion. Maybe I am. You could tell me. I think about my death every day. And this isn't something that I've just started doing lately. As long as I can remember, not back into my early childhood, because, of course, little children have no real concept of death. It's rare for them to have a real concept of death. But once I began to form a real concept of my own mortality, to realize that I actually was a mortal human being, and that it wasn't just that other people were going to die, I was going to die too. I can remember through most of my young adulthood, my adult life, thinking about death virtually every day. Not morbid thoughts, not sitting around obsessing about death, not a morbid fascination with death, but thoughts of one's own mortality. Maybe it's because I've never been happy the age I am. I've always felt like I am not old enough in the age that I am. When I turned 30, my wife threw me a party. It was called Today I Am a Man Party, because I always wanted to be 30. And once I was 30, I thought, I'm still not old enough. I don't know if I'm pushing towards 70 or something like that, but I've always thought in terms of my own mortality. My days are numbered. It's that simple. Some people don't begin to think this way until it's almost too late. Some people never think about this. Death comes as a surprise to them. You mean I'm going to die too? We say about the young that they consider themselves indestructible, don't we? We watch our teenagers, young adults, live as though they're never going to die and nothing bad could ever happen to them. And we consider it so deeply tragic when death comes to someone so young, through illness, through accident, through other kinds of tragedies. I think about my funeral, too. Do you think about your funeral? I won't be there for it, of course. I mean, my body will be there, hopefully, but I won't be there for it. But I think about it, and I have particular opinions about my funeral. I was talking with someone, maybe it was just yesterday, and they were talking about making plans for their funeral. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not even 40 years old yet. I'm getting very close to it, but I've got plenty of time to make plans for the funeral. And then I thought, Wilkin, your days are numbered. You do not know how much time you have to make plans for your funeral. And I'm not just talking about financial plans. Those are good. Getting these things paid up front. Funerals are expensive. But I'm talking about plans for the service itself. The hymns, the scripture readings. When we get married, we plan for that. Many people do actually say, I want this passage read at my wedding. Or if, like in the case of my wife and I, we actually had Christian hymns sung at the wedding because it was a Christian wedding, for heaven's sakes, with people and in a church and everything. We want these hymns sung. Have you thought about this? What Bible passages you want read or preached on at your funeral? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'd like your thoughts on that, your answer to that question. What about the hymns? Now, I know it's odd in some people's thinking to sing hymns at funerals. Lutherans tend to sing hymns at funerals. Funerals are times for the celebration of Christ's resurrection, and what a better way to celebrate than the resurrection of Christ than, of course, to sing hymns. What hymns Have you thought about it? I'm not so much thinking, I'm thinking about also not just your favorite Bible passage, but what passage do you want your wife, your husband, your children, your other family to hear preached at your funeral? One of the things that concerns me is who's going to preach my funeral sermon. I've told my wife before, if she chooses some clown, and in the ranks of pastors, there are a lot of clowns. If she chooses some clown, if she allows some clown to preach my funeral sermon to my kids, she will answer for it in some fashion. I joke with her. I say, I will haunt you. She knows at least that she should choose a decent, solid pastor to preach it, where Christ will be preached, where the assurance of Christ's death and resurrection will be preached. I don't want some clown eulogizing me. There's not that many good things to say about me in the first place. It would be a very, very short eulogy. What about you? The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. There are hymns that every time they're sung in church, I think to myself, you should write this one down because this is one you'd like at your funeral. And the list is too long. We do nothing but sing hymns for an hour. But I think about some of these great hymns of the church, like Jerusalem the Golden, the kind of hymns that I can't sing now without not only contemplating my own mortality, but also the joy of eternal life for Christ's sake. And I can't sing through them without breaking down. In fact, it's getting more and more as the days go by, especially as I sit in the pews on Sunday, that there's nary a hymn, except for the ones that annoy me, there's nary a hymn that I can sing without having that same sense. You know, this wouldn't be a bad hymn to be sung at my funeral. I've thought about a Bible passage. What word of God do I want my family to hear when they are mourning my death? Do you think about this? I've thought about simple ones, like from the book of John, where this is one that I've chosen many times for funerals of parishioners, where Jesus says to Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. And I've thought about longer ones that really have to be delved into more deeply. I've thought about favorite Bible passages. I've thought my confirmation verse from the Gospel of Luke, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you as well. And I haven't made up my mind. I need to make up my mind sooner or later. Not that I don't trust my wife to plan the thing, but as often is the case, this is the worst case scenario in my mind, okay? I'll be completely honest with you. My wife will be grief-stricken. And for that reason, she won't really be able to remember what it is her now past husband wanted at his funeral, the Bible passages, the hymns. And so she will, with all good intention, I hope she doesn't do this, leave this in the hand of the pastor. And the pastor's going to, and my worst case scenario is that the pastor's going to choose the most typical hymns, the ones that all Christians have. Not that they're bad hymns, but it would be a funeral just like any other funeral. And a funeral that might even be, because of its kind of generic quality, like, well, we'll sing, my real nightmare is that he'd choose a hymn like In the Garden, which has been crossed off the list for a lot of years in my book. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. On this Ash Wednesday, beginning the season of Lent, when we are put in mind of our own mortality and Christ's victory over even our death, what Bible passage would you want read at your funeral? What hymns would you want sung? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Monica, who's calling from Swansea. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Pastor. I have your funeral service for you. I'll mail it to you.
You do?
Yes. I went to a funeral in January of a friend at a Lutheran church in Freiburg, Pastor Bruce Kazeman.
Good friend of mine, yes.
You'll have him do your service when you see this. I know he's a friend of yours. It was a divine service. And I literally have a copy of this in my lockbox and right next to my bed because I like to read it as a devotional. And I told my husband, I begged him that if I pass before he does, I beg him to follow this service. And it speaks of Jesus Christ from beginning to end. It's a witness to his mercy and forgiveness. And there is little to no comment of the deceased other than talking about the faith God gave him to believe these things.
Hmm.
That is it. And he begins the divine service with "For all the saints from their labors rest." Then a remembrance of this man's baptism, the date that he was baptized, and then an explanation of all the accoutrements to the casket, what the covering, the pall, kind of a teaching of what's going on there, and explaining how we associate that as a teaching into the resurrection of Christ.
Let me stop you there at that point. I think that's a good, you mentioned that's kind of off the subject, off the beaten path a little bit, but I think that's a good thing to have in a funeral, especially if you're going to do a funeral in the way that the church has usually done funerals, not this kind of, he was a fine man, and his family loved him, now let's get him in the ground kind of a funeral. But to explain what the funeral is all about, because funerals happen occasionally. They don't happen every day, I mean, in most congregations. And people don't go to every funeral. It's most people attend, I mean, the average person probably attends, what, maybe 3, 4, 5 funerals in their lifetime, mostly their family. And so they will say, an explanation of what a funeral is all about is a good thing to have in there.
It was really neat. He walked up, he walked to the baptismal fount, and he walked to it physically and placed his hand on it and explained. He taught that. And then walked to the casket and placed his hand on the casket. He taught the funeral service like I wish some pastors would teach the liturgy. Never mind on that one. Then we went into the creeds. And then again, he followed basically divine service, but everything was chosen. The readings were chosen specifically to the promise of the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins. All the way through to the end, and then he had 3 children and used their confirmation verses in the committal. And it was, I had never attended anything like that before. I was just awestruck that it could be such an opportunity to witness to the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. No better time, because I know it never happens at a wedding. And I have a question for you off the beaten path. If you got a chance in this hour to answer it,
sure.
Fine. If you don't, I know you get around, from what you say, teaching at different churches on Sundays in the LCMS. How much of the liturgy, one of the divine services, are you actually experiencing versus kind of a cut-and-paste liturgy in the churches that you visit?
All right. I'll see if I can get that in here during the hour, Monica. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It might surprise Monica. Maybe it won't surprise Monica that... the pastor she mentioned there, a friend of mine, Pastor Bruce Caseman out of Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois, he's one of the guys that I've told my wife that if he's still around when I go, and I pray that he's still as close as he is to where we live, he's only a half hour away from us, I want him doing my funeral. I've told my wife, get Bruce to do it. I've got a kind of a short list. I haven't given my wife all the names, but I've got kind of a short list of guys who will do my funeral if they're still around. And Bruce is at the top of it for the reasons that Monica mentioned there. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. What about the rest of you? Bible readings, hymns at your funeral, since it's Ash Wednesday and we are in mind of our mortality. Katie is calling from her car. Katie, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Good Christian men rejoice. And there's a nice verse in there about death losing its sting. I like that. And I would want to preach something about Jesus kicking the bottom out of the grave when he rose again. That Easter sermon would be good. And another good song is We Will Worship the King of Glory with Our Hands Lifted High. And it's a contemporary praise song. Sometimes they play it in the morning.
All right, Katie, thank you very much. Do you know what? She said something there that... is telling, and that is a good Easter sermon. Every funeral sermon should be a good Easter sermon. When I was in the parish, the Easter sunrise service, what I did with the Easter sunrise service, that early, early service on Easter morning, is I simply took the funeral service that we normally did by the book, took out all the reference to mourning the death of any particular individual, and did it for the Easter Sunrise service. Why? Because that service is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That funeral service is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Singing Easter hymns. Oh, Easter hymns are great for the funeral. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It is Ash Wednesday. And I said before that maybe going to a funeral will put you in mind of your mortality. There's kind of the running joke that single people going to weddings makes them think about getting married. Does that happen with you, Craig? When you go to a wedding, no, Craig never thinks about getting married. He dismisses it with the pshaw. No. But the running joke, of course, is maybe it's just single women. When single women go to weddings, they think about getting married. Which is probably why there's the mad dash to catch the bouquet at the reception. When you go to a funeral, what are you going to think about? You think about, this is going to be me. One of these, every single funeral I've been to, every single funeral I have ever done, that has been the predominant thought in my mind. Sooner or later, this is going to be me. And I think about my funeral. How would I want it to go? What Bible passages would I want there? Kathy's calling from St. Charles. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor. The songs that I've always thought I would want at my funeral would be some of the ones from Handel's Messiah, particularly the one where the woman sings, "I know that my Redeemer liveth," and talking about the decay of your, you know, the person's own body, but yet in their flesh they will see God. I think that's just a perfect song for a funeral.
And you're talking there about Job chapter 19 as well.
Right.
All right. So you've got a Bible passage and a hymn all rolled into one.
Right.
Do you think about it often?
Mm-hmm. I've thought about it. I've talked to my kids and I told my husband I want a plain pine box. I don't want anything fancy.
I want something made out of space age materials with jets on it. I want something looking sleek and fast. All right, Kathy, all right. Thank you very much. You know, that's one thing that struck me about caskets, now that you mentioned caskets. And please don't think me morbid for bringing up this subject, but more and more I've noticed in casket design that it almost looks like they're being designed to look like, they used to be designed to look like furniture. Now some of them are designed to look like they're moving, like cars. They're streamlined. I saw one that looked for all the world like a photon torpedo from Star Trek. For all the world, it was streamlined, rounded. It looked like it could be moving through space at light speed. And you know what we did with it? We put it in the ground, and it's still there. John is calling from Seymour, Indiana, listening on the internet. John, welcome to Issues, Etc.
At a minimum, I'd want the last two verses of "There is a fountain filled with blood," leading into "I love to tell the story," because it just goes right into the other.
Oh, you mean melodically?
Yeah. You know, "Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save."
I see why you want it. I see why you want it.
And from there into "I love to tell the story of unseen things above." And then after that, "a pure gospel message proclaimed."
John, you know what? I'll send a message to my wife that if I don't leave any plans, John can handle my funeral. John can at least plan it. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening on the internet. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You've all been to funerals where you say, I don't know who planned that thing or why they chose those hymns or those Bible passages. Or you've been to the one where the person has been eulogized or where there's been this generic sermon. We gathered here at this time of sadness, like a generic graduation address. And you said, I want better than that. Is it Josie? Jose is calling from his car. Jose, welcome to Issues, Etc.
How you doing today?
Sorry for getting your name wrong. I'm doing well.
Okay, it's like no way, Jose.
All right.
Listen, I was thinking...
Would you turn down your radio, Jose, please? We're getting some echo. Would you turn your radio down?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I was thinking, you know, I'm from the Caribbean in Latin America, and I lived in the United States for quite a while now, over 30 years. But when you talk about funeral and what do we want to be said in our funeral and all of that, I'm thinking of all the people that don't have money for funeral, and they are buried in an unknown tomb, you know, any part of the ground, anywhere. And perhaps a lot of them Christians, but there's no money for funeral. And that even happened in America. I heard Billy Graham the other day preach about thousands of teenagers dying, you know, and in an unknown grave. And what do you do? What do you say to that? It's like a pastor preaching on the church saying the other day or years ago, talking about he wants a Cadillac and he wants this and a house and all of that. And he's preaching to people, you know, that don't even have a job.
Well, let me see if I can address that, Jose. And it's a very good concern because actually, Jose, I think you're right that if you want to take the scope of Christian people throughout history, most of them have been buried in unmarked graves with nothing to mark their passage. The funeral, as we know it today, of course, although it's a very ancient Christian custom to have a funeral service for Christians, most of them have approached nothing what we have in this day and age. Thank you very much for the call, Jose. I appreciate it. I would say this. When I talk about the funeral, I'm not talking about the funeral home, the casket, the limousines. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Christian service. It can be done simply in a tiny little church. It can be done in the home. It can be done, that's where funerals were for a long time, in the home. It can be done at the graveside. I'm not talking about some extravagant, elaborate pomp and circumstance. By the way, funerals don't cost anything in the church. They don't. I mean, sometimes the pastor will get a little gratuity, but the pastor, I do not know of any pastor worth his salt that has a fee. He may get a gratuity because the people are being kind to him, but I do not know of any pastor worth his salt that gets a fee. You don't need money to get buried in the church. But even if it's a simple service with, you know, one pastor in the family at the graveside, what passage would you want? What hymns would you want sung? Gene is calling from Highland. How much time do we have before this break? Gene, I'm going to make you wait over the break if you would be so kind to do that. And when we come back, we'll take everybody's phone call. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Sorry to make you wait, folks, but that is the dictates of time. Tomorrow on the program, the leader of the First Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, some would say a giant in American evangelicalism. We'll find out about Jonathan Edwards from Chris Armstrong of Christian History Magazine, right here on Issues Etc. tomorrow. When we come back, more of your phone calls.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When a Christian confesses his sins and hears the words of Christ's forgiveness, is that a Roman Catholic practice? What's the difference between conflict resolution and Christian reconciliation? You'll find answers to these questions in our new Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Confession and Forgiveness by Ted Kober of Peacemaker Ministries. Call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask to receive our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Confession and Forgiveness. You can also order the book online. Go to our website at issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House. Call 1-800-325-3040 for our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Confession and Forgiveness. 1-800-325-3040.
The evidence has changed since the Scopes trial.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the best-selling book, The Lie. Well, Ken, what evidence are you referring to that's changed since that famous trial about 75 years ago?
In the transcript of the 1925 Scopes trial, leading scientists of the day incorporated their scientific testimonies. They presented what they claimed were powerful, irrefutable evidences for evolution. Now there are many, many pages of such evidences in the transcript from this famous trial. But there's a very important lesson for us to learn from this. Back in 1925, some of the supposedly best evidences for evolution included Piltdown man as an ape man, Neanderthal man as ape-like, the appendix as a useless organ, and the famous horse evolution series. Now, 75 years later, we know that Piltdown man was a fraud. Neanderthal man is accepted as human. The appendix is known to have many functions, and the horse evolution series has been basically discarded. What a lesson to learn! The Bible has never changed, but man's theories are changed and discarded almost daily. So when you hear scientists in the media claiming they've all this evidence for evolution, think about the Scopes trial, learn the lesson. Maybe in a few years this supposed evidence will also be thrown out. Man's theories change all the time, but God's word doesn't.
Does the Bible have any light to shed on the mysteries surrounding dinosaurs? Well, Ken Ham provides answers from the Bible and science about dinosaurs. They're found on our radio website, answersradio.com.
:31 at AM 850 KFUO. Weather for St. Louis, mostly cloudy and cold tonight, low of about 18. For tomorrow, partly cloudy and warmer, high near 45. A nice afternoon on the way tomorrow. Right now, overcast and 29 in St. Louis. Another look at St. Louis traffic. Southbound 270 between Clayton Road and Doherty Ferry, there's some slow traffic there. Westbound 40 is heavy from Kings Highway to Hanley and slow 270 to Mason. Northbound 270 between Dorset Road and 70, slow traffic in the right lane. The right lane westbound 44 slows from Guyer to 270. Eastbound 40 after Jefferson, heavy traffic to the Poplar Street Bridge. And northbound 55 after Park Avenue, slow traffic in the right lane to the Poplar Street Bridge. That's traffic and weather on AM 850 KFUO. I'm Craig Allen. More open lines on issues, etc. is next.
If you are not an avowed atheist, then you are probably concerned to one degree or another about how you're going to get to heaven. Good news. Next time on the Bible study, as we work our way through chapter 3 of the book of Romans, we will have that answer for you. Be sure to listen. The Bible study is heard weekday mornings at 10:05 here on AM 850 KFUO.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 25 minutes left in open lines. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Try as I might, I am still leaving people waiting on the line here, so let's go right back to the phones and talk with Kurt, who's calling from his car. As usual, car phone callers, first-time callers, and internet callers get top priority. Kurt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Pastor Wilkins. Hello?
Hello.
I've got a comment too, and then I have a question for you.
All right.
First of all, I'm really glad you brought this up. It's something I never thought about. I can assure you, I will definitely start planning for it and do some research and read through some Lutheran hymnals and the Bible too. But there is one thing I've always wondered while we're on funerals. For friends and relatives that I have, you know, gone to, at least, you know, they've died or gone to the funeral parlor, I stood at their casket and I prayed for them. Now, if I recall correctly, in all my Lutheran upbringing, it's kind of late. Am I wasting my breath or my energy?
What are you praying for? That's the question.
I pray that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit look over them and, well, I just pray that their soul is in heaven, and that they are being overlooked or being overseen by God.
Well, you know? Okay. Let me answer that as directly as I can. The reason it's important to ask the question, what were you praying for, is because there are things for which Scripture would guide us to pray, with regard to someone who's died. And then there are things that Scripture offers us no guidance and would, and in really, in most cases, would say either you need not pray this or you should not pray this. As to the person's salvation, the horses left the barn by the time they're in the casket. So it's not that Scripture would forbid us to pray about this. We need not pray about it. That is already a foregone conclusion. That's what the purpose of the funeral is, to comfort people regarding God's great and many promises for those who believe in Him pertaining to eternal life and the resurrection of the dead. Now, the second part of your prayer, so the first part of your prayer, I would say there's no need to pray that they are in heaven. The second part of your prayer, I think, is a very good prayer to pray with regard to those who have passed away. Why? Because there are clear promises that God keeps those who have died in Christ with Him safely until His return, that they are guarded and protected, that they are confirmed in righteousness, that they enjoy free now, not until even before the resurrection, they enjoy freedom from their old sinful nature. They enjoy the bliss of Christ's presence, and that they are guarded. And it's the picture is, you know, the old picture is in the bosom of Abraham, but they are literally guarded in the lap and in the embrace of Jesus Christ Himself. They are now gathered to Christ and kept in Christ. And so that's a clear promise from Scripture for which we can pray. Is there ultimately a need to pray that beyond to comfort ourselves with the promise that Christ has given? Not really, because like with everything we pray for on the basis of God's promises, as Luther says, God is going to do this without our prayer. He will do it for His own reasons, of it for His own sake, without our prayer. But we pray, in some cases, so that we might believe the promise upon which we pray. And that, I think, that we might believe it and be comforted by it, and I think that's very appropriate. Now, if you are praying something regarding their state in purgatory, a state that does not exist, that would not be a right prayer. If you're praying or praying to them, that would not be right, of course. Those kind of things are strictly forbidden in Scripture. Sound pretty clear, Kurt?
Yes. No, I actually would not pray to a person or to Saint or to Mary or anybody. It's strictly the Holy Trinity.
Good to hear. Thank you very much for the call, Kurt. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Jean is calling from Highland. Jean, thank you for waiting and welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor.
Hello.
I have several thoughts regarding my death and my funeral. And I have often had to ponder my death because of tragedies in my life. My sister, when I was 20, she died at age 18 of carbon monoxide poisoning. And then my son, just 10 years ago at age 18, took his own life. So, you know, I've been hit pretty hard with those things, and you can't help but think that life is tentative, and it's a smack in the face of how we're not here forever. And so I've had to consider that. Now, my problem is my husband is a Roman Catholic, and he's the last person I want to plan my funeral. So I have already made choices. And I want my funeral to be a witness for all my Roman Catholic family and for my side of the family who have not taken God seriously. So I want my funeral to be a witness. I don't want any eulogy. I want it all to be about Christ and His saving mercy. And I have strict orders with my husband to wait for my pastor and put me in cold storage until he can come back. If he's on vacation or away from business, I'll wait. I'm not going anywhere.
That's true.
Yes. And I also did write my decisions, my thoughts, in, and sent it to the church office, and they have it in my file.
Oh, you know, that's a good idea.
But you know what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with
that? It changes every year.
Oh, really? Well, you know.
Yeah, my choices keep changing. My ideas change. And I also noticed at my church we have not used the pall, and I do want that. And so those are the kind of things that I have already, you know, I've taken care of all that. And, you know, another thought is not just our own death, but having these tragedies in my life reminds me that my only son that's left could be taken at any time. And I have to take that very seriously. And my husband, you know.
Sure. Jean,
yes.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks.
It's a good idea to get these things on record. If you put them in the safety deposit box, someone might not know to look there. And you say to your husband, I'm keeping it in my, you know, in my my blue suede shoes under in the bottom of the closet. He might be dead by that time or senile and not be able to remember. You send it to the church office and put it in the file. You would pray that you'd have a pastor who would check the file before doing the funeral as well. But and that's good to do that. Some people would say, I trust my pastor to plan my funeral. I trust him to do it. And I'll let him do the planning. And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But the question for you is, if you want to have a hand in the planning, what is it? If you're just tuning in, what is it you want in your funeral by way of hymns or Bible readings? It is Ash Wednesday, and we're put in mind on this day and the season that follows the season of Lent of our own mortality. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Andy from Kirkwood, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. I just got back from talking to the pastor planning my father's funeral, which will be on Saturday.
Really? Well, first of all, my condolences to you regarding your father's passing.
He's in safe hands.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
So, did your father leave wishes?
We had, of course, gone ahead and prearranged the funerals and drawn up some ideas for the service long ago.
Hymns and Bible passages, Andy?
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing, if you can remember, any of that?
I've got the printout right here in front of me. The hardest part about it for us was to pick and choose, because there's such a wealth of wonderful material. But I couldn't choose between Psalm 103 and Psalm 116, so Pastor just said, well, let's read them both.
Good.
And then the Job 19 passage that you mentioned a little while ago, and then that will be separated from the New Testament lessons by singing the hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. And I think no funeral should be without that one. Our family Bible verse, my confirmation verse, was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So we have that, actually a little bit longer reading from Ephesians. And the gospel lesson was mentioned just yesterday, I think, on the radio. But we had already picked it out, St. John 6, 28 and 29. They asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And then, you want to know the hymns?
Yeah, tell me the hymns, I'm curious.
We're doing too many of them to, in you is, in thee is gladness, children of the Heavenly Father.
Good.
I already mentioned, I know that my Redeemer lives, I want to walk as a child of the light. And then this is to the tune of the Earth and All Stars, but it's Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. And then since I'm a member at Congregation Haiva Shalom, we're also going to be singing the Kaddish, a Christian version of the Kaddish at the end of the service.
Andy, thank you very much for the call. He mentioned, what was the one he mentioned at the end? Oh, I can't remember now. My brain doesn't work that Alleluia, Christ is Risen. And, oh my goodness, we need as many of, you know, if there are hymn writers who are putting pen to paper, the kind of hymns that we need these things. We've got a baby boom generation, 70 million babies born between 1946 and 1964 that are all going to be dying within the next 20 years or so. We need more hymns for funerals. We could run short, you know. Dale is calling from his car. Dale, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good afternoon, Pastor. About 35 years ago, I was at the funeral of a great uncle, and they did a hymn at that time that I've never heard since, and it's not even in the new hymnal. It's in the old Lutheran hymnal. It's Who Knows When Death May Overtake Me. I would like to have that one at my funeral. It's about 15 verses long, so it'll take up a while, but it's verse by verse. It goes through baptism, communion, and just is a documentary of one's faith. I think that that's an excellent hymn that no one ever hears of anymore.
It's one of those ones that's kind of fallen out of use, isn't it, Dale? Yeah,
yes,
you're right. It's 11 verses long. Do you want all 11 verses sung at your funeral?
If possible.
All right. Thank you very much, Dale. I've got it in front of me. Who knows when death may overtake me? Isn't that appropriate for this conversation, to be mindful of our mortality? Now, see, these hymns, I would also suggest that these hymns would be good to sing before you die. All of them are good to sing before you die. Who knows when death may overtake me? Time passes on, my end draws near. How swiftly can my breath forsake me? How soon can life's last hour appear? My God, for Jesus' sake I pray, thy peace may bless my dying day. Isn't that great? And then I'm looking at verse 7. Not shall my soul from Jesus sever. In faith I touch his wounded side and hail him as my Lord forever. Nor life nor death shall us divide. My God, for Jesus' sake I pray, thy peace may bless my dying day. And that's a great hymn to be sung every day, isn't it? In fact, you could break that up with 11 verses and spread that one out over almost 2 weeks if you just pray on the weekdays. I mean, pray the hymn on the weekdays. This is good. Then death may come today, tomorrow. I know in Christ I perish not. He grants the peace that stills all sorrow, gives me a robe without a spot. My God, for Jesus' sake I pray, thy peace may bless my dying day. What song do you want sung at your funeral? Songs do you want sung at your funeral? I was sad to see when one of my parishioners passed. A relative of one of my parishioners passed. I don't know what she was. I think she was Pentecostal or Baptist or something. And I went to the funeral. I didn't conduct the funeral. I went to the funeral. They did it at the funeral home. Didn't do it in a church. I do not know why. I do not know why. I'll tell you my own opinion on funeral homes. Nothing against people who've had funerals in funeral homes. But they're some of the most depressing places to have a funeral. And the organs sound uniformly terrible. Well, and I've done them at the funeral home. I'm not arguing with the basic principle, but the church is a good place, too. Kind of made for this stuff. I went to one. There were no hymns sung. There was, a very short Bible reading, a couple prayers, a very long eulogy that just talked about how nice of a person this was. And it was even worse, made worse by the fact that the pastor obviously didn't know the person he was burying. It's very difficult to eulogize someone you don't know. Which is why Christians haven't engaged in that kind of thing on a regular basis. What they've done is preach Christ. They've eulogized Christ. You see, we know him. I may not know the person I'm burying, but I do know Jesus. We could talk about him all day long. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Cindy from South County, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks. I went to a funeral just recently where they sang "Oh, Danny Boy."
Oh, was it an Irish funeral?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it was held in a funeral home, and we just about fell off the pew when we heard that, but that's not what I called about. About 12 years ago, my aunt died, and my aunt was, to my knowledge, not a Christian. And her husband had been raised ELCA Lutheran, and so naturally when they went to the funeral home, they asked, you know, what church affiliation do you have, and he said Lutheran. Well, when I got to the funeral home and the pastor got up, he preached. He did not mention my aunt's name. He didn't talk about her. He didn't say one word about her, and I don't know how you feel about this, because this was an LCMS pastor. And he preached Bethlehem to the Ascension. I mean, he preached the whole thing about Jesus' miracles, how he was born, you know, his life, how he died, and how he was raised, and what God's hope was in that for us. And that was the end. That was the end. And I mean, the only thing I had done, I had gone to the hospital to see my aunt, and she was not, I mean, she wasn't really coherent, and I prayed with her and held her hand and talked to her, and then she died. I mean, a little while later she died, but I don't know the status of my aunt. I would say that she was, you know, definitely not a believer, but this pastor, I mean, nobody can go, can leave without hearing. And this pastor made sure that my uncle and cousins and all the other extended relatives heard.
Sounds like he was doing his job.
He really, really did. Do you do things like that? When you were in a church, did you go and do funerals for people who, you know, had no church affiliation?
It all depends, Cindy. Thank you for the call. It depends on... My first question is always, is this a baptized child of God? If the person is baptized, then all other things being equal, I mean, there are other mitigating factors, I imagine, that could come up. A person who is baptized and then on their deathbed is renouncing Christ, I would say no. It's not that I would punish the family, that I wouldn't go and comfort the family, that I wouldn't go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead to the family, but I do not think it's proper to give a Christian burial to someone who renounces Christ. Now, as to those who are unbaptized and have never confessed Christ, I think I would probably do the same thing. I certainly wouldn't bury them from the church, but I might take the occasion. I think what I'd do is do what that Lutheran pastor did. While I would say, look, let's not consider this a funeral, a Christian burial, because I do not know that this person was a Christian. You got to be honest about that. I'm not going to assume that this person's a Christian apart from a confession of faith and no baptism. What will I do? I will be with you at the funeral home, and I will proclaim Christ to you. And it would look, and it probably look for all the world like a funeral, which I think is what that Lutheran pastor was probably doing. People would might mistake it for a funeral, but what he was doing was preaching Christ. After I remember, and I'm not trying to brag on my preaching ability, but I'm not. But I remember. There's a point here. It's not to boast. After funerals, I would do funerals, and of course people come in out of the woodwork for funerals. I would do funeral, preach a sermon, and I would preach the cross and the resurrection and the hope of the resurrection for all in who die in Christ, eternal life. Our need for, and I would preach law and gospel, and people who never darkened the door of the church except because their friend died would say afterwards, not all of them, but many of them would say, that is the most beautiful funeral sermon I ever heard. And I would say to them, well, that's what we preach here every Sunday. I think they were saying, I've never heard that before. Maybe because what the funeral sermons they've been hearing, I'm no great preacher. I'm no great exegete. But I can preach Christ. And it's amazing, they've been to funerals before and never heard that. I do not know what they were hearing. Eunice is calling from Redbud. Eunice, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hello.
Several years ago, I think in a church newsletter, there was a form that we could fill out what Bible verse or what hymns we'd like at our funeral. And I put down my confirmation verse, which was, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And at the time I got it, I didn't, and you know, they said John 6:68. I didn't even know there was a John 6:68. I had to come home and look it up and see that, yeah, it was in the Bible. Yeah, but as the years have gone by, I do like that verse. It's a, you know, a good verse to have. And then the hymns I like are, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart.
That's a good
especially
one, yes.
The last verse, Lord, let at last Thine Angels Come.
Mm-hmm.
And then also one that's not heard very often. I don't recall ever hearing it at a funeral, but it's in the Lutheran hymnal, I Know of a Sleep in Jesus' Name.
That's a great hymn.
I like the melody of it, and I like the words also. And then Jesus, Lead Thou On.
Oh, and that has got some great last verses
mm-hmm.
in it.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, kind of for everybody else there, too.
Absolutely. Eunice, you've made some very good choices. Thank you very much for the call, and thank you for waiting. Lord, let at last Thine angels come, that last verse of Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart, is, I know, and I should know who wrote the hymn, when the author of that hymn was writing that last verse, Lord, let at last Thine angels come, he had to be thinking about his own funeral, his own death, not just contemplating death in general. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I don't think we have any time for more phone calls. There are two verses. We had a caller earlier who pointed us to the hymn, Who Knows When Death May Overtake Me. And there are two verses here that kind of wrap up this whole thing. Verse 3 and 4, My end to ponder teach me ever, and ere the hour of death appears, to cast my soul on Christ my Savior, nor spare repentant sighs and tears. My God, for Jesus' sake I pray, thy peace may bless my dying day. Help me now to set my house in order, that always ready I may be to say in meekness on death's border, Lord, as thou wilt, deal thou with me. My God, for Jesus' sake I pray, thy peace may bless my dying day. You know, not only on Ash Wednesday, and not only when you get old and start thinking about the prospect of death, do we need to be mindful of our mortality. And I think the callers have demonstrated beautifully, and we can continue this discussion tomorrow during Open Lines if that's something you want to do. The callers have demonstrated beautifully in the hymns and the Bible passages that they have been thinking about for their funerals on this Ash Wednesday, that to consider one's mortality, Lord, teach me to number my days aright that I might gain a heart of wisdom. To contemplate one's mortality is not simply to think about one's death. That would simply be morbidity. But to think about what death is now in Christ. The grave is now a bed wherein those who die in Christ sleep in peace, where their bodies rest until the resurrection. Death is temporary. It is as temporary as sleep. That on the last day, as Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that on the last day he will stand upon the earth. And when my flesh has been turned to dust, there with my own eyes I will see him with my eyes and not another's. And then he says, oh, how my heart yearns within me. I don't want you to get me wrong, but in a sense, I'm looking forward to my funeral, because I know what lies beyond the funeral, and I know what the message, that message preached there at the funeral, will be of a comfort to my family, because it will tell them of the hope that I have in Christ and who that Christ is and what he has done to conquer death. There's a great resource for the season of Lent as we consider our own mortality and its cause, our sinfulness. It's our new Issues, Etc. book of the month for March called Confession and Forgiveness. You can order it tonight online by going to our Issues, Etc. website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find a direct link to Concordia Publishing House, the publisher of Confession and Forgiveness, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House tomorrow during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for March. It's a great resource for this Lenten season. Confession and Forgiveness, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll be back tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Today's Issues, Etc. broadcast was partially underwritten by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of the Issues, Etc. book of the month for March, Confession and Forgiveness. Concordia Publishing House has more information at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or go to issuesetc.org. And under the What's New section, you'll find information on our Issues, Etc. book of the month, Confession and Forgiveness.